Hey, this is Nick Gelso, co-owner and founder of CLNS Radio. Today's podcast is brought to you by Lynda.com. Lynda.com is the home of expert video tutorials. Because you're such a loyal listener of CLNS Radio, and it's 2015, you want to kick the new year off in style, claim your free trial today from CLNS by going to Lynda.com/CLNS. That's LYNDA.com/CLNS. Now on to your regularly scheduled program.
Welcome to the Boston Celtics postgame show on CLNSradio.com.
Off the turnover, Rondo reverse, banks it in.
Fans, this is your destination for interactive Celtics coverage all season long.
Kelly still has time, takes it.
So what are you waiting for? We want to hear from you. Dial in at 347-215-7771.
Green out of the corner. Got another one.
Now let's get it started.
All right, ladies and gentlemen. I have finally arrived. After 2 hours of power outages, here in the D.C. area, I have finally arrived. Welcome here to the Celtics postgame show right here on CLNSradio.com, powered by Audible, Lynda.com, and Peak Brewing. You definitely want to claim your free 10-day trial to Lynda.com. Going to www.lynda.com/CLNS. Can't beat it. 10 free days. Hey, I'm going to tell you at least go 10 free days. Okay. Once you stay on a little while longer, but take advantage of the opportunity while it's there. The Boston Celtics tonight defeat the Toronto Raptors 95-93. The Celtics had a complete effort from every single guy on the floor. Evan Turner and Avery Bradley led the Celtics tonight with 14 points apiece. The good thing about all of this right now, and what you guys can do is you can go follow the network right now at CLNS Radio, myself at Brian A. Lyon. The good thing about this is tonight that this is my first time being able to say it, is that the Celtics are going back to the playoffs. You tell me that if I would have told you that the Celtics were going back to the playoffs in 2015, you wouldn't have believed me. You would have told me, oh, no, Brian, there's no way that the Celtics, you know, after the destroying that team, what they did, they made the playoffs. Well, they are making the playoffs. They are going to the playoffs. I don't think they can get, maybe they can get higher than the seventh seed. I think they have a shot at the sixth seed, if I think I'm right. They have a shot to succeed, but before we continue to go on there, let's get my co-host for the night. Joining me from Careless Whispers, it's like a mixture. It just happens every time, though, but I like the mixture of Careless Whispers and the Evening Score because it's like they have the two assholes of the shows doing these things all the time, so it's pretty cool there. My co-host for the night, Calvin Chamberlain. Calvin, what's going on, buddy?
Wait, am I the asshole or is really the asshole? Are you saying
I think both of them.
I'll settle for being the asshole of my show. That's fine. I don't know if I'm supposed to be saying that on the air, but that's fine too. No, the Celtics are locked into the sixth seed. To answer your question that you put into the, I'm sorry, the seventh seed. They're locked into it.
They're locked into the seventh seed. That was the numbers I was doing.
Yeah, they could have gotten the eighth seed had they lost, but with tonight's win, that locks them into playing the Cleveland Cavaliers in the first round of the playoff.
I'll ask you, Calvin. See, Calvin is the Lakers fan, so you guys remember him because he's going to be bluntly honest because I think Calvin's going to say something different. I may say something different about this. If you are the Celtics, would you rather play the Hawks, who are kind of not limping into the playoffs, but okay, no Saffolosha, he's there for defensive purposes, and I think they lost a little bit of firepower, and then now Cleveland has gained that firepower. I mean, if you're the Celtics, wouldn't you rather have played the Atlanta Hawks in round one instead of Cleveland?
Of course I'd rather play the Atlanta Hawks than Cleveland. I mean, not only is Cleveland a better team, but just take that, leave that aside for a moment, because Atlanta's also a better matchup for the Celtics. You know, they're not a particularly big team, which the Celtics aren't. They play small, which suits what the Celtics do. They sort of have a similar offense, although, you know, the Hawks are much better at executing it and hitting threes. But at least, like, they can play at a pace, a similar pace, and they know that sort of offense. They don't have one particular guy to focus on. I don't know who the Celtics have that can guard LeBron. So I would have, personally, if I were a Celtics fan, would have been much happier playing the Hawks than I will be playing the Cavaliers. But on the other hand, you know, as somebody who's had LeBron as your primary Eastern Conference rival over the last 5 to 8 years, I'm sure you're probably excited about the opportunity to go up against his team again.
It's funny because Pro Basketball Talk has something up right now. It says the Celtics are deep in balance. Jay Crowder is taking and making the game-winning jumper. Boston's reward? A first-round series versus the Cleveland Cavaliers. Is that – that's like – that's a reward. That's – you know what? I'm not going to doubt this team. It's not – I'm not going to say that they can't at least get a game against the Cleveland Cavaliers. I'm going to be honest. I have to be honest with myself. I have to be honest with Celtics Nation. I will not sit here and tell you that the Celtics are going to pull off the upset and beat the Cleveland Cavaliers in the first round of the playoffs. But I'm telling you this. However this season ends for the Celtics – is a winning season. Because why? This team had, I mean, the trading Green and Rondo thing, they weren't supposed to be at this point right now. So they're here where, and they've exceeded expectations. And Calvin, let me tell you this. I know a Lakers fan, it's a good friend of mine. We made a bet when both teams got bad, which team made the playoffs first. So I told him, feel free to bring his $100 to me tomorrow because, you know, I got a bill I need to pay anyway. So I definitely appreciate Lakers fans always jumping their stuff out there with crazy bets here, but Calvin, you tonight's game, you know, we get it. Boston played an all around game. Maybe Toronto said, "Hey, look, we're gonna give you guys this one so you guys can get dispatched quickly out the playoffs by the Cleveland Cavaliers." But for Celtics fans that are listening that want to get in the conversation, you can call 347-215-7771. Calvin, I'll ask you this. Can the Celtics win a game against the Cavaliers? And I get it. I know Cleveland's been hot, but for some reason, there's something about any Celtics team. They give it their all. And I personally don't see them getting swept, but I don't think they can win the series.
Yeah, I would like to tell you that I would like for them to – I mean, I definitely would like for them to win games and the series. One, I'm not a LeBron fan. I enjoy doing this, and I don't root against the Celtics per se. As long as they don't win a title, I'm okay, which clearly they're not going to do. So I'd like for them to, you know, get this upset in the series, and or even, you know, push the 7 games, get the young guys experience. But I just don't see it. I don't see how. I mean, maybe they get a game. I'm not saying it's impossible. I'd like to see them get a game, but if you ask me what my prediction is, and we are gonna have a little playoff special for Careless Whisper, I'd probably pick a Cleveland sweep just off the top of my head without help, you know, looking at it any deeper.
See, and that's why I don't want to come on air tonight, because see, I'm the guy, and I think Calvin is the same way as myself and Rory and Backy and anybody else that comes on this show, that I don't want to come on this show and tell you guys that, man, the Celtics, they're going to just take the Cavaliers to the itty gritty, and then they're going to pull this miracle off. I just don't see it. I mean, you look at the last 2.5 months, Cleveland is the hottest team probably in the NBA. Maybe it's a stretch. Cleveland is the hottest team in the NBA. But I'm not doubting my Celtics. I'm not going to sit here and tell you that this team can't pull miracles, because I've seen it happen before. I've seen the team make the finals in 2010 when they weren't supposed to make it. I seen this team make the Eastern Conference Finals in 2012, and I didn't see that happening. So things have happened that have shocked us before. So I don't want nobody, because we're going to start taking calls right now because the lines are actually blowing up here tonight. I don't want to let nobody on, Calvin, and the first thing they say is, you know, they doubt my fanhood, or they question my loyalty, or they question anything. I'm just being a realist. So 347-215. Go ahead, Calvin.
Yeah, yeah, let me ask you, because I've been on this sort of kick lately that it's getting to the point where it bothers the all or nothing nature of sports is starting to bother me. And I really feel like it's hurting the NBA when you look at teams like the Sixers who are throwing away seasons under the idea that like someday they might have a contender, because that goes to the like philosophical idea that like you know, being the worst team in NBA history is no different than being the team that makes the NBA finals and loses. Like, I hate that philosophy. Like, why do we only count championships? We don't count finals appearances. We don't say, like, you know, this team made it to the NBA Eastern Conference Finals. Like, KG did that 6 times. Like, nobody ever says that. Nobody keeps track of any of that. And each round should be an accomplishment. The point that I'm making to you, Brian, is that this team making the playoffs is an accomplishment. Like, I don't think that we should immediately go to the negative and say, you know, I don't think they can take a game from Cleveland, which I don't.
Right.
But you know what? We're not there yet. The Celtics, considering how much talent they had an incredible season. And if I'm a Celtics fan, I'm happy right now. I'm happy with the experience of them getting to the playoffs, getting a chance to prove themselves, whether or not they win a game. We'll cross that road when we come to it.
Oh, but said that, and I agree with you. That was my thing. I was like, look, let's ride this thing till the wheels fall off, because, you know, and I said it on any post-game show. I've said it on the Eden Score Sports podcast. I can't stand when people say, oh, what was the reason for the Celtics to make the playoffs only to lose? No, this is a plus. This gives people confidence. This gives those young guys, they go into the offseason and they work harder because they say, look, we got here last year with this talent and we weren't even together but X amount of months. Imagine what we can do if we get an offseason underneath our belt, going to training camp together. We can do some crazy things, but let's just do this. I think it's Mad Dog, Kevin. I don't know. I just got to be careful because people let me have it, bro.
You know what's an underrated Trust element, me. By the way, of what you're saying? The Celtics are going to have a lot of money in this offseason to try to throw at a free agent. And countless times I've heard all the other hosts say, well, you know, Boston's never been a free agent destination. We always have a hard time getting people. Well, you know what makes it easier to get free agents? Making the playoffs and looking like a young team that could go somewhere. Like, you know what I mean? Being alluring to free agents. That's how you get free agents now in today's NBA. So, like, the advantage of having that team as opposed to being a lottery team, it shouldn't be overlooked.
Yeah, because people jump on the Knicks and say, oh, man, people want to go to New York, people want to go to L.A. Listen, that whole market thing is just about dead, because I don't see guys like Marc Gasol leaving Memphis. I really don't see LaMarcus Aldridge leaving Portland, you know, unless Tim Duncan retires or San Antonio makes a stab at him. But, I don't see that whole big market thing. I think is just about over with. I think that was much of the old school era. I think that was much of the back in the day thing. I think people are now trying to take smaller markets and turn them into maybe a bigger market, or turn them into a championship contender. So I don't think we necessarily start saying, oh man, everybody wants to go to New York and LA. They're great attractions to go to, don't get me wrong, but I don't think that's the whole thing that everybody wants to go be a Laker or a Knick or anything like that. But let's take a call right here. I believe it's Mad Dog. If I'm not, I could be wrong, because we haven't done this in a long time. So who we got with us tonight? I knew it was Mad Dog. It's a Duke Blue Devils fan.
Thank you, and I'm still celebrating it. But this is the show to boast about that. It's the show to talk about the matchup of the Celtics and Cavaliers, baby, back in the playoffs.
We can talk about the game if you want. Yeah, it's all open here. We can talk about Evan Turner if you want.
Evan Turner.
Yeah, I was saying if you want to talk about tonight's game. Oh, you said you're still celebrating. Well, you probably meant the Duke thing, huh? My bad. I bet you meant tonight's win.
No. It's about the Cavaliers and Celtics now, since we know what's going to happen now, regardless of what happens, and I just wanted to sort of get some thoughts on that matchup, if you guys would like to discuss that. I know this is a post-game show.
No. Go ahead.
So just looking at this matchup on paper, as I said on Sunday, I think that the Celtics are going to have to play over their heads, and Cleveland's going to have to play play average is what that's what it's going to take for this to be a series. So, but I look at some of the matchups here, and obviously you look at you first start out with Kyrie Irving and Marcus Smart. Can Marcus Smart contain him to a point? And I think that Marcus Smart can bother him to an extent. But do I see Kyrie Irving being completely shut down? No, but I see that Marcus Smart could exploit that a little bit. J.R. Smith and what I mean by exploit, I think that he could score some points on Kyrie Irving. I don't think, obviously, Kyrie Irving gets that matchup, but head-to-head, but I think that Marcus Moore can score some points on Kyrie Irving. And then you look at Avery Bradley and J.R. Smith. J.R. Smith is either a hot or cold guy. If he's not on, then he's useless. I think that Avery Bradley can get that. But then you look down here with the Evan Turner and LeBron James. I think that we could pretty much stop there and say that LeBron James that's a complete wash there for LeBron James. And then Kevin Love with Sullinger. Again, I think that Sullinger could. I don't like Kevin Love defensively, but I think that Kevin Love and then Mozdoff and Zeller, they're both similar players. I just think that across the board, though, that you're talking about a immensely more talented team. And I think that if the Celtics get ridiculously hot from the three-point line, or Cleveland just completely does not play well. And I think that's what it's going to take. I think it's going to take both of them for the Celtics to win a couple games here. And I hate to say that, but I think that you're looking at Cleveland's big three. And Brian, I don't want to get on you, but to compare mm-hmm. this team to the 2010 and 2011 teams, or the 2012 team, excuse me, it's apples and oranges compared to them, because you're talking about three Hall of Fame caliber players versus this team, which is a relative unknown.
No, Mad Dog. I was talking about the unexpected run, though. That was how I compared it, because all those runs were unexpected. I don't think nobody thought the Celtics would make the finals in 2010. I mean, of course, Celtics fans are going to say, yeah, my team's going to make the finals. But in the reality part, nobody thought it. In 2012, nobody thought that they would make the Eastern Conference Finals. That was my point. I wasn't going to disrespect that team and compare it to this team. Mad Dog, let me ask you this. I want to ask you this here. Brad Stevens, should he get Coach of the Year votes? I have to ask it now, because everybody knows I've been the guy that's been the hardest on Brad Stevens ever. Does he deserve Coach of the Year votes?
Absolutely. I think that Steve Kerr will ultimately get it in Golden State, and deservingly so. But the way that Calvin has said this, that the Celtics went to mail it in this season, and Brad Stevens has done an unbelievable job gluing this together and making the playoffs. I think that he deserves a ton of credit. But I just think the world of Brad Stevens. Obviously, following him in college, what he did with that Butler program was amazing. And he's doing it here, and he's going to get his own players in. They're going to do that. I think that a lot of free agents are going to be very, very attracted to playing for him. He's not going to be going back to college anytime soon. I don't believe. But guys, I know that you have a lot of cars. I would like your opinion on about the Cavs matchup. And before I go, just a small tidbit, Brian. I want to thank your Dallas Cowboys for all the support during the national championship run. I appreciate Tony Romo, Jason Garrett, Dez Bryant, and former Cowboy DeMarco Murray for making it out to all the games. I really appreciate that. All right, guys. Peace out.
Take care, Mad Dog. Mad Dog finds a way. He finds a way to – Calvin, he does that. He finds a way to attack you or attack me, and then he just finds a way, Calvin. I'm speechless. I've never been speechless when it comes to Mad Dog, but tonight, there it is. I'm speechless. Calvin, I have to ask you the same thing that I just asked Mad Dog. Ultimately, it looks like Steve Kerr is going to get Coach of the Year. But when you look at it, should Brad Stevens as well get votes getting his team to the playoffs?
The question should he get votes is a weird question because, I guess Coach of the Year ballots, you don't just fill out who you want as Coach of the Year, right? They sort of do a top five. That's how they do it, is like MVP style, right? I'm not quite sure how the voting breaks down. But, you know, in that case, then obviously he should be getting Coach of the Year votes. But I don't think he should win Coach of the Year. Although I've always had a different philosophy about Coach of the Year as well. I would give it to Budenholzer personally, because I just feel like the amount of actual talent on that team is not representative of how many wins that they've won. Whereas Golden State, I think, is you can say that they've outpaced their talent, but I think that the margin for that is pretty small compared to Atlanta's margin of outpacing their talent. In fact, you can make an argument for guys like Kevin McHale for the same reason. Although people want to give James Harden all the credit for that, I think that certainly if you look at that roster and how they played, they've outplayed their talent as well. And Boston is another team that's outplayed their talent, and I think that's how you factor in coaching. So do I think that he should be, among the names that are mentioned for Coach of the Year? I do.
Yeah, because, I guess I have the same philosophy on Coach of the Year. I don't think it should go by wins. And I think, unfortunately, that's what it usually is. It's by wins. And the way Steve Kerr has kind of so far taking this Golden State team to the next level, it looks like. But ultimately, we know Golden State needs to go a little bit further this year. But you look at guys like Kevin McHale, guys like Brad Stevens. It's a ton of guys that's out there that have done awesome. They've done great jobs with their teams this year.
Can I be radical for 1 second? Can I say a couple of radical words? Yeah. I have never equated good coaching with wins and losses. Like, it's almost irrelevant to me. Like, coaches, like, winning a title, it's like, okay, great, you've won a title. But, I think that it's so much less important than it is, wins and losses to how you value, players. Even that is overrated. But, I would go so far to say that in terms of being a game coach, for example, as a Laker fan, I'll just come right in out and tell you that I've always thought that Phil Jackson is a mediocre strategist and has always been as a head coach. You know what I mean? Like, I've never thought that he was a particularly good coach, and I'm a Lakers fan. But guess what? He has 11 titles, so now he's an accomplished coach. Can't take that away from him, But just pure coaching, I wouldn't put him anywhere near the top of my list.
And see, that's why I think Calvin, they book us together, because I said something like that, and I've said something like that on the street, in the barbershop, and I got chewed up, but I had to back it up, and I was like, listen, if you talk about a coach, I go get a coach like Larry Brown, a guy who has taken, I understand he wears his welcome belt probably wherever he goes, but I've seen him take just talent. He's taking guys to the playoffs. He's taking, Allen Iverson and the Sixers to the NBA Finals. That's a guy who I would label as a coach. And I'm not going to say that maybe Phil, ran to a couple things. He's seen talent in Kobe. Where did he go? He went right to the Lakers. So I'm not going to discredit Phil for what he's done and all the rings that he has on his finger and even the extra one he's got hanging around the house somewhere. But I'm just saying, when I look at coaches, I look at guys like a Larry Brown. But I'll tell you this.
There's another problem. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yeah. Go ahead. No, go ahead, Calvin. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, here's another problem with coaching, and I've talked about this before too, is that it's sort of a self-fulfilling prophecy. Like Phil Jackson right now, not right now because he's a GM, but like
previous. He's a good coach because he's already won the title, which means that, that he has that cachet to where he can go and badmouth Kobe and Shaq in the media, and they can't, you know, there can't be a mutiny on Phil Jackson because he has 10 titles, so it's going to make a guy like Kobe look terrible in the media, whereas if the coach was maybe a better X's and O's coach but didn't have the NBA resume, somebody like a Brad Stevens, had he been the coach of the Lakers at the time rather than Phil Jackson, for example, like Kobe could have completely had a mutiny, like not listen to anything he said, which I've seen him do that to other coaches before, and do whatever he wants. So it's like Greg Popovich's offense. Like, yeah, they're running this spectacular futuristic offense now, but they weren't doing that in the middle of Tim Duncan's prime. You know what I mean? In the early 2000s, Greg Popovich right. had to establish himself with titles before he had the leeway to do that. So it's almost like you become a better coach because your reputation is better. So players are more likely to listen to you and do what you say.
And you know, Calvin, here goes the hard part, because Jerry Weiss is set to join us in the next few minutes. Here goes the hard part for Brad Stevens. When you talk about a playoff roster, you can't go in there, because tonight he played 11 guys. In the playoffs, I just don't see him playing 11 guys. He's going to have to play a solid, maybe 9, Calvin. Is that number too high? Maybe 10?
I'm glad you brought this up, because I've been going there already. We talked about this with Jared the other day. Most playoff teams only play 8 guys, and sometimes even 7. Guys who are going to be automatically left off. You're not going to see Phil Pressey unless there's a blowout, even though I like Phil Pressey. You're not going to see a lot of these. You're not going to see Luigi Tocomi. I'll tell you that right now. Yep. Here's what we're talking about. All right. We're talking about Isaiah Thomas, obviously. We're talking about Jay Crowder. Right. And then we're talking. Right. And then we're talking. This is where it gets interesting, because the other guys who are candidates are Jonas Jerebko, Jared Sullinger, and who am I missing? Let's see, Bassler. Who am I missing here? I think that's it. Right.
Kelly
Olynyk. Okay, so Olynyk is going to make it because he's a stretch player and he changes the offense. The question I want to throw at you before we go to Jared is, it's going to come down to Jerebko or Sullinger sort of as that ninth man. You're not going to be able to get them both significant minutes unless you get blown out, which could happen. But I mean, big important minutes, who do you give it to right now? Considering the way Sullinger's playing, he's not Jared Sullinger yet. And Jerebko's been playing well, but on the other hand, Sullinger carried you earlier this season. You're going to have to decide between one of those two guys. Who you got?
Dang. I'm on the ropes. I'm like on the ropes with that one, because Sully's coming back, and I get it why Sully, I don't want to miss this run. But Jerebko has been like an awesome feeling for Sully. That's tough, Calvin. You put me on. For the Cavaliers. For the Cavaliers, maybe it's Jerebko that you play. I mean, there's no disrespect to Sully. Maybe it's Jerebko that you play, because he has been playing a little while longer with these guys, whereas Jared Sullinger has missed most of this run and trying to get him, you know, familiar with the guys on the floor. But then I know if they don't play Sully, that makes the headlines, and then Sully may start to say, hey, I want out of Boston. I'm prepared for how those things can get ugly real fast. But if you're professional, you kind of understand if you're going to play Jerebko, because he's been playing with these guys a little bit longer now. Jared Sullinger just missed time. I still don't think he's 110% healthy. I think he came back just because he felt like he was good enough to play. But I don't know if he felt like – I don't think he's good enough to give you those type of playoff minutes, because in the playoffs, you're talking about hard fouls. You're talking about – you know, your minutes being bumped up. Tonight, play 14 minutes. Some of your minutes being bumped up to almost 25, maybe 30 minutes a game. Can Sully play 25, 30 minutes a game? I don't know. I'm going to give my honest opinion. I don't think so. That's my opinion. But I don't know if he can play 25, 30 minutes a game. I mean, to answer your question, I'm going to have to go with Jonas Jerebko. That could be crazy, but I've said crazy things on this postgame show 1,000 times. Trust me, believe me.
I agree, and I honestly feel like just watching Sullinger since he's been back, I feel like he's hurting them. Really, it's especially defensively, I think he's not there yet. He's over-rotating. He seems to want to, you know, go back to being the guy who sort of carried the team on its back for a brief stretch after the Rondo and Green trades before he got hurt. in that little window there where he was, you know, putting up decent numbers. He seems to want to go back to that in limited minutes, and I feel like it's stalling the offense out because, you know, they're trying to run the ball through him in those times and then going back to the regular offense another time. And defensively, he seems to be over-rotating. I don't think he's ready to be in this rotation right now. Like, and again, you're not going to need him because he's going to take minutes away from other guys. So I understand why they're playing him right now, but I do think that he's the guy who needs to be sat down when it comes to the playoff. And I don't know how Celtics fans are going to react to that when they lose a game and somebody says, well, why didn't Brad Stevens play Jared Sullinger? I could see it now, Brian. I can hear it on the phone lines, people calling in and complaining, demanding Sullinger, and they'll be wrong.
I tell you what, let's get a third opinion on this. Let's go live out to TD Garden, where they are probably celebrating out there, to the man himself, Mr. Jared Weiss. You can follow him on Twitter at CLNS underscore Jared Weiss. Jared, what's going on, buddy?
Well, you know, I got to be off in 5 minutes, so I'll make this really quick. During Brad Stevens' press conference, it's in the press dining room. It's technically above, like, the overpass where fans are streaming out of the stadium. And during his press conference, you could actually hear people screaming outside and cheering and chanting, let's go Celtics. It was really cool. I think he even stopped a couple times and we could hear it. So, I mean, it got kind of crazy in the stadium tonight. Who could have thought that in a game it wasn't really that massive of a game anymore since the Celtics clinched their playoff spot, for it to have such an incredibly thrilling finish? That was quite a treat. We didn't even deserve it. We got lucky there.
Hey, you get a good game sometimes. You gotta enjoy it. So that was my question to you, Jay. You kind of took that one out, you know, away from me there. Like even somebody just texted me right now on my phone and was like, maybe the Celtics shouldn't have won that game, Brian. And I'm like, nope, win it. Every single game. In my book, every game counts. I don't care if you're 0-81. Every single game counts. So I'll take this win tonight. I'll take it.
Since you're only here a couple minutes, I guess the most important thing right now is Avery Bradley. Do you have any update on his condition?
So he's going to be out for tomorrow's game. He has a left thigh contusion. He got hit just above the knee. I don't know if it was on the play where he blocked, was it Lowry from behind, which was a huge play, but he went out, he was coming back out for halftime, Ed Lassert, there we go, Ed Lassert, trainer for the Celtics, he told Stevens that he's not going to be able to play, so they took him out for the game, and Stevens said during his press conference, he's out for tomorrow's game. There's no reason to believe that he won't be ready to go for game one against Cleveland, which will be either Saturday or Sunday. I'll give him a few days off to get his leg back in shape, so he should be fine.
That's good to know. Yeah, go ahead.
Go ahead, Calvin. Because you definitely could use Avery Bradley. You need him. Defensive purpose, you need him.
So it looks like they're locked into the 7th seed now. We've been talking about that. It looks like they're going to get the Cavaliers. Do you see anything in that matchup?
I mean, I see a lot of dominance going one way pretty much. I asked Evan Turner about how he felt about guarding LeBron, and he's pretty excited about it. He says it's going to be really interesting for them to go head-to-head. I mean, Turner's been playing some of the best basketball of his career lately. He's been nearly a triple-double machine, or a near triple-double machine every night. He almost had a quadruple-double with his 7 turnovers tonight, too. So a little bit of Evan turnover creeping up from earlier in the season. But Turner's been playing, he's been playing the point forward role so well this year, especially the second half of the year after they brought Thomas in and after Marcus Smart kind of settled into being an off-the-ball wing player. It's been working really well for Turner, but he's been playing defense a lot harder. I was talking to a team source and he was saying that Turner has come such a long way since last season, and it's really a testament to just how hard that he's worked. Turner has really done, I think Turner's probably made the most out of his situation here than pretty much anybody that joined this team over the last year or two. It's really been a great story to see the way he turned it around. But for him to make the game-winning block on Kyle Lowry, who shot 6 for 20 tonight, to end the game, that was pretty huge.
Oh, yeah. And then, you know, compounding the huge shot that he made, a couple seconds before, and the offensive rebound that he managed to get back on the feet to Tyler Zeller a couple plays before, too. He was all over it at the end of that game.
He's been working the board so hard lately, like way beyond what he's done in the past.
Yeah, do you think that it's Brad Stevens sort of orchestrated mirage. Like, if, you know, he goes to another team next season, are we going to get the Jordan Crawford effect times two? Or do you think that he's really, you know, developing his game in a way that's tangible?
No, I mean, the Crawford, if you got to know Crawford a little bit, if you compare that to getting to know Evan Turner a little bit, they're not comparable. They're just something that's off about Jordan Crawford. Evan Turner is a guy that gets it. He's always had an issue with being a little too singular-minded, not really willing to expand his horizons. And he's really done that this year. He's committed to a more, kind of a bit more of a challenging role that's a little bit out of his comfort zone, and that's benefited him greatly. He's also trying to play defense pretty hard. He's not a great defender, but effort is 50% of being a good defender. So he has the effort, and that's what really matters for him. I guess that's really it. It's not much more to say there.
Yeah, you guys made a Jordan Crawford reference. You guys made a Jordan Crawford reference on this show tonight. Jared, what you got going on in the Garden Report? I always gotta let you get that in before you disappear, buddy.
Garden Report's going to be great. We're going to have our good friend Jessica Camerato on from Basketball Insiders and WEEI. She's obviously one of the best out there. So we're going to talk about the playoff preview, looking ahead to the Cleveland matchup. Also have Julian Edlow on from WEEI at CLNS Radio. So that'll be a lot of fun. We got some good footage from John Havlicek's 50th anniversary of Havlicek sold the ball. We had footage of him getting honored with his family. If you go to my Twitter or my Instagram even, you can see a bunch of photos there. I got some behind-the-scenes shots, too, that are exclusives to my Twitter account, so you can enjoy those. But it was a really, really heartwarming moment for Havlicek after the first quarter. And Marcus Smart even said that when that was going on, when the ceremony was going on, that Stevens was telling the guys to pay attention because they were all staring at Havlicek and applauding Havlicek. So that was a very cool moment on Fan Appreciation Night.
Nice. People learned some things tonight. Jared, my friend, we appreciate you as always coming on with us. Do your thing in the Garden Report, and tomorrow on my lunch break, because I can't watch it early in the morning no more, but on my lunch break, I promise you, I'll be checking out the Garden Report, my friend.
Sounds good, man. Get some sleep.
Take care, brother.
All right, cheers. Thanks.
And let me tell you why Jared says that to me all the time. Because I have a demanding job that tells me I have to be up at 5:30 in the morning. And people are like, are you crazy? I would be asleep right now. But that's the love. That's the dedication I got to the network and to Celtics Nation. Calvin, I ask you to take another call here. If Avery Bradley's healthy, that's the biggest if right now. If Avery Bradley's healthy, do you go put him on Kyrie Irving and just let Marcus Smart check J.R. Smith, or...
I wanted to ask, you know, Chico was on the clock, so I wanted to ask him, because Mad Dog seemed to insinuate, and so did Jared, that, you know, because Evan Turner is sort of the traditional small forward designate guys on this Celtics team, that he would be the guy guarding LeBron. But I don't know why you wouldn't put Marcus Smart on LeBron. He's bigger and bulkier, and, you know, nobody's going to defend LeBron well on this team, let's be honest. I mean, you know, how many guys in the NBA are really going to slow down LeBron? But I feel like I would still play Smart on LeBron. Because the other thing is let's, you know, I don't mean to be mean to Marcus Smart, but let's be honest. If Marcus Smart is not on the floor, it's not really hurting you offensively. But if Evan Turner's in foul trouble because he's trying to guard LeBron, like, Evan Turner is one of your primary ball handlers. I feel like I'd go Smart on LeBron, see how that plays. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, and you can always send some type of help for Marcus Smart if he needs some type of help. I mean, like you said, Calvin, at the end of the night, you have to take the good to bad. You know LeBron's going to score, you know. But my thing is, like, you know, now you're going to shift over to Kyrie Irving. Yeah, he's who's been outstanding this year. And if Avery Bradley's healthy enough, then I would go shift Bradley on him, you know, and J.R. Smith's going to shoot himself out of the game, Calvin. That's the one thing we can say about J.R.
Well, look, J.R. Smith can be on and he can be off. But the bottom line is, like, even if Kyrie Irving is off, he can still drive to the basket and create contact. He's one of the best at that in the league at drawing fouls. So, to my mind, I would almost rather have a J.R. Smith jump shot, even a three, in any situation than a LeBron or a Kyrie Irving basket, or even a Kevin Love basket, even though they play Kevin Love out of position. Like, I would let J.R. Smith shoot 25 times. I don't care if they're open. I don't care, because your chances of winning that series are go up significantly for every shot that, that J.R. Smith takes.
For every shot that J.R. Smith goes up, Celtics have a chance to steal this game from him. You know. Let's do this. We'll take another call. Give me 30 seconds to call. I have to get the people. But I got to ask Calvin this because I know I'll forget stuff. James Jones has been playing a lot in the fourth quarter over Kevin Love because LeBron likes to be, you know, the power forward with Timothy Mozgov and three other shooters on the floor. Come playoff time, does David Black continue to stick with that theory? Or, you know, with this being Kevin Love's first playoff appearance, does he give Kevin Love that opportunity to play big minutes in the fourth quarter next to LeBron James?
I think that we'll see Kevin Love playing fourth quarter minutes next to LeBron James, but I don't think that we'll see it much in this series. What you're talking about is the inevitable adjustments that come when, you know, teams face each other six or seven times in the playoffs and they're under adversity and they have to do something to change up. That's when we'll see Kevin Love, you know, really get an opportunity to shine where, he might have a 30-point game or something in a way that, you know, they go to him in a different way. But I think as long as it's working, they'll continue to run the offense the way that they've run it in the second half of the season. I expect Kevin Love will see fourth quarter minutes, but I think it'll be more of he'll be the spot-up corner three-point shooter, you know, with LeBron having the ball at the elbow where Kevin Love likes it.
I was about to say, because, you know, LeBron gets really upset, you know, because he'd rather have James Jones. I mean, who knows? We may even see a Mike Miller appearance because he hasn't really played that much all year. And I think David Blatt's kind of like, fell off the whole Mike Miller thing, or maybe LeBron told David Blatt, "Hey, look, we save him for the playoffs. We don't let him out. You know, we don't let him out his cage until playoff time. That's what he does best." But let's do this here. Let's take another caller. I love when people call into this show because I like the interaction. Heck, even if people believe I'm wrong, I'm fine with the interaction. All right, we got somebody from the 716 area. What's happening?
Hey, how you doing? It's Coach Rich. How you doing, boys?
Coach. Coach, long time no talk to you, my friend. What's going on?
Yeah, I've been real busy out on the recruiting trail. So, I'm just really excited with this team. I tweeted out to you guys, and I know the Cavaliers aren't the better matchup of playing the Hawks, but I'm just happy that they're there. And, just see how this team with this young energy, this youthful exuberance, youthful exuberance carries you a long ways. And, they have no pressure. The Cavs have the pressure to win. You know, probably people are going to be picking them to win that series in five games, maybe even a sweep. So put the pressure on the Cavs. I like what you're saying. I love what you're saying about J.R. Smith, Kelvin. You live and die by the jump shot. And, you know, he gets hot. He's streaky. But he also takes bad shots. He starts to feel it. And he'll start firing from everywhere. And, I'd like to see him try to win games by himself because that bodes well for a Celtics victory down the stretch. So this team's just been so much fun to watch.
Coach, Calvin and I were talking about Jared Sellinger. And I like to ask you things like this because, you know, I'm scared this could potentially happen. It's going to happen regardless. That's what media does anyway. If Jared Sellinger doesn't play in this series, does that mean that his career with the Celtics could be over? Because, I mean, we know how the media gets. I mean, they're going to take that, run with it, make it a big story, maybe force Sellinger to say something that he doesn't mean, but because of, you know, he may be a little upset because I don't know if he's going to play this series. He doesn't look healthy enough. You know, I just don't know. I don't think he's the best option to go with if you're looking for that eighth or even ninth player. I don't think it's Jared Sellinger.
No, I agree. And you know what? I don't think he's healthy. And you know what? He's got to learn. He's got to be professional about it. You know, What's more important, the eye or the team? And you know, moving forward, Jerebko has just played so great. He's been so active on both ends of the floor. He's given them a spark when they needed it. And, you know, bottom line, they want to win basketball games, and Jared's got to understand that. And if he doesn't understand that, then you know what? Maybe he isn't a good fit for the Celtics because the Celtics are always about, I am a Celtic first, not, you know, the name on the back of my jersey. So I hope he gets used to that because he's not healthy. I can see, you know, and he's, you guys are right. He slows down the offense when he's on the floor. This team's great in transition, and I just don't see him fitting right now with the way they've been playing. And, you know, the old saying, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. And, I wouldn't be messing around too much with the rotation at this point.
Coach and Brian, can I go bigger picture for a second here? Because you were talking about Sullinger. So you just said you feel like he doesn't fit that well in the offense because the team wants to play at a quick pace and scoring transition, and you know, he's a little bit of a slower post-up type player. Would you guys take that into consideration, considering the fact that he's going into his restricted free agency year? Would you like to see Ainge not offer him a contract before the Halloween deadline to sort of see how this year plays out? Or would you like to see him, you know, get a jump on trying to extend Sullinger right now?
Ooh, boy, that's a good question. I personally don't. I think there's better options out there with all the draft picks they've got coming up, and you know, whether they use some of them to bring in a high profile free agent. You know, I don't know his issues with his health, with his weight issues. Those things scare me as a coach. You know, moving forward. You offer him a big contract. Let's say they offer him an extension, and you know, he continues to be, I don't want to say the term tin soldier, but if he doesn't give them the minutes to help that ball club moving forward, I don't know. Maybe it is time to look elsewhere. Considering what they're getting out of Crowder, I love Crowder. I just love his athleticism, his speed, his strength. Jarebko's been playing great. Zeller, I don't know. I can't see him getting a long-term extension right away.
Nope, and Danny Ainge just proved to everybody that, you know, he's just not big on long-term deals anymore. You got to think about it. He let Rondo, you know, trade Rondo away. He's just not big on these big deals anymore. And I'm sorry, I don't want to see him lock Sully up so fast. Coach Rich took the words out of my mouth a little bit. I'm not the one to talk about weight because I'm a bigger guy myself, but I don't make money like Sully makes, but. They posted this picture over the summertime of him being quote unquote skinny. I don't see that must be a Photoshop, guys. That had to be Photoshop because the picture and Sully didn't equal when I first seen him this season. I was like, this picture doesn't equal Sullinger, but you know, that's his thing. He has to get the weight under control because that's where those foot stress fractures come from. It comes from you being heavier, a heavier person. So, I mean, I don't know, maybe. Is he committed to the gym? We don't know, you know, but no, Calvin, to answer your question, I'd rather Danny Ainge just roll the dice with Jared Sullinger.
You know, I agree with that.
Roll it. I mean, I don't care. You may crap out. He may be an all-star and I'll live with that. But I'm not never a big fan on extending anybody so fast. I hate when people extend players so quick.
Go ahead, Calvin. I'm sorry.
No, I just wouldn't. I think that he hasn't proven that he can shoot from the perimeter well, even though I know you like to you know, complain about every time Jared Sullinger takes a three. But yeah, but he doesn't make nearly enough to be effective as a stretch four. He doesn't play interior defense well enough to, you know, be on the floor, and you don't have that guy anyway. It's like, the things that he does well, but it's like he's a good rebounder, but he's not a great rebounder. You know, so he's not getting you 15 points a night or 12 or 13 points a night, even to where you can offset the fact that he's not a great defender with the fact that he's getting you so many extra opportunities. He's sort of just an above average rebounder. So I guess as somebody who does, you know, everything that Dim, he's like a great six man, I guess, but I wouldn't want to lock it down with starter money for Jared Sullinger, especially because he doesn't ideally fit your offense either.
No, and you know what? Moving forward, I think they really need to have somebody who can protect the rim. And you're going to drop some big coin. That's what you need to drop coin on. Get somebody that's going to protect the rim and just be a dominant force on the boards. And, you know, now you're talking about championship aspirations. So, they got to put their coin somewhere else than that.
Cool, Coach Rich, man. You got anything in closing, man, before we let you go? Because it's been a while since we talked to you, man. So I definitely want to let you go in the right way, man. I ain't going to see you like I said Mad Dog. I just kick Mad Dog up. Now I'm playing Mad Dog. I got love for you, but Coach Rich, you got anything in closing?
No, I just like to say, you know, I'm looking forward to a nice run, and hopefully they can stretch this series out to 5-6 games. And, you know, if you get into that 5-6 game, maybe make LeBron and the boys sweat a little bit, and you never know. You know, sports are a funny thing. They can put everything on, you know, talk about it, but it's what happens between the lines.
Keep hope alive, Coach Rich. Thanks for the phone call tonight, buddy.
Okay, guys. Be good.
Take care. I guess Calvin, that's the quote of the night. Keep hope alive, because you can't just pencil in Cleveland. You know, you don't want to just pencil in nobody so fast. And then usually game ones, and maybe you disagree, Calvin, I don't know, game ones are the trickiest games in the world, because yeah, you say, I know this team, but then sometimes things change, and then, you know, game ones don't turn out the way they're supposed to be. So I'm not necessarily going to walk out here and say, hey, man, game one, it's in Cleveland. Oh, my God. You know, the Cavs are going to just go out here and flat out destroy the Celtics. It's just something. It's something about a player when they put on a Celtics jersey. Things change for him. Because think about it. Isaiah Thomas was starting to become, you know, almost irrelevant. I mean, honestly, before he got traded to the Celtics, he started to become irrelevant, like an underachiever. Jay Crowder, you know, Jonas Dreckwell cutting off the bench. I mean, what is it? Is it like really that four-leaf clover in Boston, Calvin? It's got to be like that four-leaf clover in Boston going on.
I mean, right now, yeah, you might. I mean, it's a four-leaf clover, Brad Stevens, because it sure feels like it, doesn't it? Like you make your own luck, and the Celtics have managed to win these games time in and time out. And if you look at, you know, the way they executed that play, Brian, the one where Evan Turner hit that huge jump shot where Tyler Zeller went out to the three-point line and then cut all the way back across the weak side, and Jay Crowder went with him and sort of drew Evan Turner's man for just a half step, enough for him to get that open jumper and bury it. That was perfect execution of a spectacular play.
This is crazy that we're mentioning Evan Turner. I mean, Evan Turner was an underachiever, and he was decent in Philadelphia, but he went to the Pacers, and, you know, Pacers, like, giving up on him that fast, and he signed with the Celtics, and it just seems like things have completely changed around him. Look, Cal, I got to ask you before we leave, Calvin, because I know that you're a Lakers fan. I have to ask you this. I seen Swaggy P, which I like Swaggy P. There's something I like about Swaggy P so much. I don't know why, but they asked him today about, you know, basically his year, and he said the rim has been tripping, and the Lakers are looking to trade Swaggy P, Nick Young. What are your thoughts on Swag? What are your thoughts in general on Swaggy P's game in general?
I'm not a fan of his game. I'm a fan of his person. Well, no, I'm not even really a fan of his personality. I'll take that back too, because he doesn't care about winning. You know, like the Lakers lost seven in a row, and then they won a game, and Swaggy P's in the locker room, you know, celebrating and showing off and putting that up on Twitter and Vine. Like, I don't expect him to be mad all the time, but I just feel like, you know what I mean? Like, right after your first win, after losing seven in a row, like, you shouldn't be that happy about it. You should take a little bit more pride in your job. I don't expect everyone just to be Kobe all the time, just angry and, like, you know, all business. I appreciate the fact that he can have fun even in the midst of a bad season, but it gets to a point where, like, it goes overboard, and I feel like all he cares about is a Swaggy P, and that came out wrong, but yeah, you know what I'm saying.
Oh, man, that is the awesome moment tonight. Oh, man, if you guys missed it, then it went over the top of your head, but I can't do this, Calvin. I can't, I would say this. What you're doing right now, I had one of those moments, and you're kind of like, can we just, like, hit the rewind button, or can we, like, edit that part out, or what you know,
I'll
what can we
it.
Do to
me?
I get it, man. Yeah, oh, no. You know I get it, man, 110% here. The Celtics tonight defeat the Pacers, 95. I'm not the Pacers. I'm sorry, the Raptors. I'm reading something at the same time here. 95-93. I just can't believe I'm saying things like Jay Crowder, game-winning shot, and Evan Turner, triple-doubles. I don't know. I'll ask you this real quick, because we're talking about, I know I'm going further into next season, but I like to ask people stuff in the next season. Paul Pierce as a player option in Washington. You know, everybody does the I'm coming home gimmick now. You know, Paul Pierce, does he come back to Boston next year?
I mean, you know, it's hard to say. It depends on who else they get. I have as competitive as he is, would just go back to Boston, you know, just for the sake of ending his career with the Celtics, because I feel like he could have done that in this last offseason, but he went to Washington because he thought Washington, you know, was an up-and-coming team that had a chance to contend. Now, if Boston gets a significant free agent that makes them look good, maybe then Pierce, you know, tries to jump on board that, but I don't think that he just comes to Boston, you know, just to come to Boston.
And the reason I mentioned Paul Pierce before we get up out of here is that he had an interview this week. He talked about being in Brooklyn last season and how Darren Williams couldn't handle the big stage. Then he talked about how Ray Allen was so isolated. Even in Boston, he was isolated. And I think Paul Pierce would be open to a return with the Celtics. And I think the Celtics, of course, will welcome Paul Pierce back, depending on what happens this year. You know, some people realize eventually that, hey, you know, chasing championships won't happen. But, you know, I'm glad that the Celtics are back in the playoffs. I love the playoffs anyway, but it gives me just a little bit more hope because my team is there. And, you know, I'll make a bold prediction, because I make bold predictions any time of the show, that the Celtics will steal game one versus the Cleveland Cavaliers. Calvin, who do you have, Cavs or Celtics in game one?
Well, since I already picked a Cavs sweep, I guess that's going to have to be my bold prediction.
Whew. Cavs in the broom. Brian is going to take the Celtics to win game one. Yes, I'm honest, because I'll put it on Twitter and I'll tweet it, and I know I'm going to get a billion retweets tonight and probably a billion people bashing me, calling me stupid, and anything else. Calvin, you got anything in closing before we get up out of here?
No, man, I'm just excited for the playoffs. Hopefully I get to do a game. I don't know if you're excited to do a little playoff post-game, but, hopefully, you know, we get some more of these callers calling in to talk about the team. I'd like to see it, you know?
Oh yeah. Playoff post game is gonna go back to like the days. And you remember those days where it was like you literally had to time everybody and give everybody like 20 seconds or like, you know, like a minute at the most.
Yeah,
and you'd be like, okay, nice talking to you, bye. And you had to just kind of dump people. But and Calvin, let him know. Caleb Spitzers, man. I let you guys promote your show too. I forgot about that.
What, say that again? I'm sorry.
Quick promotion on Careless Whispers, man. You know, I like to let everybody promote their podcast.
Oh, yeah. So it appears that on Friday we are going to do a little half-hour playoff prediction show, and then we're back to our regular schedule on Tuesday, barring, you know, being preempted by playoff games.
See, look at that. I didn't know that, so I'm glad I know it now. Careless Whispers, playoff pre-edition, Calvin Chamberlain, Matt Rury. And then Sean Backy and myself are recording the Eden Score Sports podcast tomorrow. And that will be up on Friday. So I know Sean's going to be definitely excited for that. So for Calvin Chamberlain, I'm Brian Langford. We will see you guys directly after game one when the Celtics defeat the Cleveland Cavaliers. You can book it. I said it. And we're out of here.
This has been the Celtics postgame show on CLNSradio.com. Thanks for listening. The Celtics might not be in action every day, but we are, so stay connected. Follow us on Twitter at CLNSradio and check out our broadcast schedule for the best weekly sports podcasts on the web.